class this morning, but I asked David if he would give me just a few minutes. I've been laboring with decision for about 6-8 months. I've been praying hard about it and hadn't got clearance, hadn't got the peace that I wanted, that I've always had in the past. You men know that there's an election coming up in 2018, and I've been trying to find God's will about whether I ought to run again. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You got to understand, if you're in the political arena and you get elected to a public office, you're recognized. You go out to a restaurant, you can't sit down and eat. Somebody's going to come up and recognize you. Somebody wants to talk to you about politics. You get into a crowd with a lot of people that doctors and lawyers and people of influence, people that you don't normally deal with. I've been in this church for a lot of years. I got a small circle of friends. They're right here in this room, people that I've known for 40 and 50 years. I don't associate with those people. I don't go to the country club. I don't go to their parties. I don't want to be there. But there are functions that you have to go to and places that you have to be and people you have to associate with and you have to get along with simply because of the position that you have. And I don't need my picture in a newspaper. If anybody has ever lived their dream, my dream was to be a county commissioner. I've never wanted to go to the state. I've never wanted to go to Washington. The only thing I've ever wanted to be was a county commissioner. And I fulfilled that dream 3 times. Why should I do it again? I personally have my own convictions about the directions that this county has taken. I don't necessarily agree with everything that's happening. Some of them want it to be like Mooresville, to where you can't get on the road and go anywhere unless you're sitting at 15 traffic lights and waiting all day. I don't particularly want to see that. I believe that the economy should run itself. It should be decided by the people who want to invest their money. It shouldn't be controlled by a certain group of business people that want to dictate what you can do with your property and what you can't do with it, whether you can sell it to somebody that wants to build a truck stop or whether you can sell it to somebody that wants to build a flea market. You know, people have owned property for 150 years and they get an opportunity to sell it, and there's a group of people that wants to tell them, well, they can't sell it. They can't do this with it. They can't do that with it. I'm opposed to a lot of that. But I'm not wanting to be a county commissioner so that I can control everything. If I wanted to be a county commissioner, it's always been for one reason, and that's because I don't like control. I don't like what the government does with my money. I don't mind paying taxes, but I don't like what the government does with my taxes, so I don't want to pay any more than I have to. And I don't like the control that they exert over every aspect of our lives. I mean, you can't build a doghouse without getting 13 permits. I just went through doing some reconstruction on my house, and I had some Anderson windows that I paid $400 for 25 years ago, and they told me I couldn't use them because it didn't meet some stupid code. And they didn't tell me that there was a way to get around that. I had to go on the Internet and figure that out myself and had to go around the horn to be able to use those windows that is perfect windows, nothing wrong with them. They wanted me to spend $4,000 to put in other windows and not use them. I'm just saying there are some things that are not spiritual decisions that you make as a government official. I never made any decision without praying about it. And that's foreign to some of the people that I served on the board with. That's foreign. They don't want to hear that. They don't want you talking about God. They don't want you talking about praying, consulting with God on what you do and what you decide. But I'm asking you men over the next couple of days. One reason I haven't signed up to run is I've got obligations that I've not had before. My mother, 86 years old, she's not in the best of health. I'm the only one. And don't you go out and say anything about that. My mother is has more pride than all you men put together. She, I said something to her about using a walker, and my goodness, she jumped all over me. She didn't want to hear it, didn't want to talk about it. She's real independent, but I'm the only one in my family that's there to look after her. And that's an obligation I don't take lightly. I'm going to do that whether I attend the first commissioner's meeting or not. I'm going to take care of my mama. I told my wife a long time ago, we've been married 52 years, and my wife at times has been a little jealous of the time I spend with my mother. We go out and eat. I invite my mom. We go somewhere. I invite my mom. There have been times there's been some jealousy over that, and I told my wife I wasn't going to wait till my mama was gone and then say, well, I wish I'd have done this or I wish I'd have done that. I'm not going to be sorry for what I've done for my mom. And you know the situation with my wife. She's got Parkinson's. I have spent a lot of time looking after her. I don't take that light. I made a commitment 50-some years ago. I'm going to keep that commitment. I won't ever be the best Christian. I won't ever be the best dad. I won't ever be the best anything. But I'm going to fulfill those obligations. And I want you to help me pray over the next couple of days. The decision that I make will be the one that would honor God. I'm going to have my name in the newspaper if I run. I'm going to have my name in the newspaper if I get elected. Not what I want. I wish I could avoid that. But I'll promise you one thing. They won't get 5 cents of my money to run. I won't put a picture in the newspaper and say everybody vote for me. I will get out and put out signs and do the things that you have to do and go to meetings if that's what the Lord leads. But I want His will. I want mine. And you guys are my friends. You're the guys that I depend on. I want you to pray with me over the next couple of days that I'd make the decision that would please God, not what would please me. I want to be a commissioner. I enjoy it. I like a good fight. That's what my wife says all the time. I get right in their faces. I tell them what they don't want to hear. And sometimes, yeah, pride gets in there. I don't want it to, but I got the same flesh you got. I ain't no good. But I don't want it to be a prideful thing. I want it to be what God wants. So I want you to pray for me over the next couple of days that I'd make the decision that would please God. Appreciate your time.
That's something we got to do every day. Something we got to do every day. I mean, we got to make decisions. So we're going to do those things to please God. You know, you look at what we're studying at about, you know, about our heart, about the mind, and about the soul and the battle for it. You know, the basic, you know, the bottom line is we got to make decisions, and these things influence our decisions, our heart, you know, our heart and our mind, and there's a battle for it. It's a battle for your heart. There's a battle for your mind every time you get up in the morning. And, look, I tell you what, if Brother Jim does get back in that fight in the county arena, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to be tough. There's already some erosion that's been going on here, I think, in our county. There's some good things that's, you know, goes on too. I mean, we still got people out there. I hear all the time about how bad our school systems are, and it is. But there's still a lot of good teachers out there that are trying to make a difference in children's lives.
Amen.
And you know what? They face the same doggone fights that you fight every day. It's I'm gonna give you a couple examples right quick. You know, this ain't got nothing to do with that, but these are kind of everyday fights that people get involved in. My wife had a little old boy in his class. I want you to imagine it if it was you, okay? Now, how do we respond to these things? That really is how good of a Christian we are, what we do. I tell you what a lot of people do. They say, man, that's terrible. Just go on the way. You know? What that verse talk about? It says, you know, over in James, says, oh, be ye clothed, be ye warm, be ye filled, you know, this lip service. Don't ever do anything about it. That's That's what happens a lot of times in this world. My wife has this little boy in her class. He's blind. He's legally blind. He can't see far as here to you. You know, I mean, my wife sets him like right up here, this close to the board, you know, with as strong of glasses that they can give him so he can see, and she writes it in large letters. She, you know, kept telling these people this boy needed a magnifying desk. You know what I'm talking about? It's got the light with a magnifying glass on it. Said, this boy needs that. And they said, well, you know, he can see better than he puts on. I'm sure some little kid wants to pretend like he can't. He said, he spent his time, he had no vision in the front. He sees out of his peripheral. So he's always looking like this when he studied. Okay. Finally, my wife had, and she just got up in the people's faces in charge, you know, getting this stuff done. And she came back and they said, I said, I got to have a prescription for this. And she had one for 2 years. My wife pitched a fit. She said, if I don't look after these kids, who's going to do it? If we don't do it, if we're not going to look after these children, who's going to do it? And I can name several of them. And I think about that little girl, my daughter and them, had come up to me. I know what happened. That mom and that fella had put her up to go up there and let them know that she was hungry, hoping people would give her money. I know that because that's the way they do. You know? That mom and dad, or mom and whatever, they need to get arrested. They're using that little girl and she's suffering neglect. And probably a very good possibility they might have stolen her out of her home. And that happens all the time. But, you know, we can just, you know what I mean? Brother Jim, I'm not encouraging you to do that, to run or anything. But it's just like I said, if we don't do it, who is? We're gonna let anybody that's willing to take the place and for either good or evil. And we can sit around and we can either wake up and do our part. And I'm going to tell you something. Hey, if you do decide to run, we need to back him up in prayer. But I tell you where we need to back him up even more. And that's getting back out here in the highways and hedges and telling people that they can make a difference in this county.
Amen.
They get their heart, give it to the Lord, get on our knees again and pray, and wake up. Now, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. Well, I've been studying this verse and every time, I mean, this book, and I tell you what, I look at all the things that's going on with Jeremiah and going on with the nation of Judah here. And, buddy, the more I look at it, the more it sounds like our day and time. And, God told me, he said, judgment's coming, you know. And he kept giving them opportunity and opportunity and opportunity to get things right. But their heart, the heart of the nation, did not change. And we know that when Jesus Christ was here on this earth, and he walked and he preached, and John the Baptist preached, and he preached that, and Jesus said, the heart of this people, he said, is wax gross. They're dull of hearing. They won't listen. You know? With their lips they do honor me, but their heart is far from me. And that can happen to people. That can happen to church people. That can happen to saved people. Man, you say, well, what makes you think that? Well, goodness gracious, we see one of his chief disciples cussing and pitching a fit. And here they was, had his Lord up there, been beating on him already. And they asked him,
Hey, you want his, ain't you? He's cussing. I don't know him. Blankety, 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 blank. You know, and we got to be aware that, boy, there's a battle for, he feared man instead of fearing God, and that was all due to the heart, you see. The heart had been listening to the wrong things. Here in Jeremiah chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and said, I will pardon it. I wonder if God would run up and down the political community of Rowan County and the city of Salisbury, or let's go on up there to the state house and look at, see if they're really looking for judgment. You know what I mean when it says judgment? Righteous judgment. I'm talking about justice. And he said, look and see if there are any that execute judgment, that seek the truth. He said, I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, listen to this. Though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. It's all lips. How many times have you ever seen a man run for the presidency of the United States that all of a sudden he is a God-fearing man? I don't care what kind of a heathen he's been all his life, but when he starts seeking office, and they always, say this, and God bless America. Or they have some big rally somewhere, and everybody gets all, woo, and then he'll go, God bless America. I got one question for that fella when he says that. When's the last time you blessed God? Amen. As the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. God has blessed this nation above and abundantly. I remember when 9/11 happened, it just bothered the fool out of me. All these people coming up with these signs, God bless America, God bless America, God bless America, not realizing all the time that we had never recognized His blessings, and now that here they are asking for more. The heart is deceitful. I'm going to tell you, the deceitfulness of riches has blinded this country. Some of the best people, some of the best Christian people, possessions and homes and lands and houses will blind us, to blind our old heart. Then you start meddling too much in affairs of some of these entrepreneurs that Brother Jim's talking about, they'll try to break your legs. Well, these people love money. I live in an area right now that they got their own little government. They can try to control everything you did. I left my trash can, God forbid, I left my trash can outside overnight, and I got a picture in my mail where you could down there. I mean, I'm only about 100 yards off the road, but way down there, you can see that little big, teeny tiny green trash can sitting outside my house. They said, you're in violation of blah, 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 blah. The Lord forbid. I said, I'll get my trash can in before the Nazis come down here. Learn how to walk right. Oh, my goodness. He says right here, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them
and they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them. They have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. You know what makes a person's face hard like that? Get that stone face. You got a stony heart. Hey, you got a glad heart. Your face will see it. Huh?
Amen.
You got a glad heart. You got a rejoicing heart. You got a thankful heart. It comes out in your face. It comes out in your eyeballs. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. I used to like that song. He said, you know where it talks about, you know, about, can't remember how it goes now, about letting your face know it. If you're happy and you know it, you know what I mean?
There you go.
If you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show it. Well, they got a stony face. Why? Because they got a stony heart. Notice it, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me into the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf at the evening shall spoil them. We see right here, people here in this nation of Judah, they set their heart like a flint against the Lord. They will not hear what He's got to say. Now, their heart has deceived them, because in their heart they say, the Lord liveth, you see. So in their heart, with their mouth, they've deceived their own heart, thinking that, you know, hey, God is our God. You know, this God is our God. God is our God. He's for us, you know. So they were for Him. They hated Him. They was against Him. They refused Him. They would not obey Him, you know. And goodness gracious. Do we honestly think that this nation is going to escape killing their children by the millions and millions and millions? Does this nation actually think it's going to escape? Hey, when one out of four little girls are molested before their age of 14, and two out of every four boys, do we really think that we're going to escape the judgment of God? Are we aware of these things? Are our eyes open? Or are they like Jesus said, have we closed our eyes and is our ears deafened to the cry of the innocent and the people that are suffering? He said, who wants to answer? Open your mouth wide. God said, I'll fill it. Amen. Cry loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Well, Jim, if you do decide to run, and you do get elected, and I vote for you, I better hear something come out of you. Loud. I'm kidding. I love you. I think you'll try to do the best job you can. And notice this. Look here, and keep these thoughts in mind. Keep all these. Look down here in 9, and look at what it says here. Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? I'm going to back up and read quickly verse 7 and 8. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, they then committeth adultery and assembleth themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, and everyone neigheth after his neighbor's wife. An adulterous nation, man, fornication and sexual immorality is spewing out over, out of our, being broadcast, just splattered all over the television, and it's just everywhere. And what are we saying about it? I remember back in, I'm trying to think, Brother Jim, what was the first year that Ronald Reagan run for president? Can you remember? Was it 74? I mean, excuse me, was it 84? 80? No. Yeah, sometime about then. Yeah, because yeah. I remember working on it. It was 84. Because I worked that campaign pretty hard. Got out, and one of the reasons was because of all the mess that was going on. And I remember there were some group of people worked hard against this thing of immorality that was in our magazines, and they had a whole lot to do. They got a lot of this trash. They was going in, you know, like you used to be, you go into a 7-Eleven or something, they have all these, you know, filthy magazines up front, and they made them pull them out front and put them behind counters, had to ask for them, did a whole lot of stuff, got it out of the eyes of our children. That was the whole idea. And there was a lot of work done on that. That guy focused on the family who was involved in that. You might remember, I can't think of his
Jerry
name.
Well.
Huh?
Jerry Falwell.
No, not Jerry Falwell. The guy was over focused on the family.
Dobson.
Yeah, James Dobson. He worked with that committee that helped put some of these laws in together. And I'll never forget. They got all this in there, and you know, and then of course, you know, Ronald Reagan, you know, took a couple of turns, and we're trying to get a lot of this filth, and they're doing things against child pornography, and get a lot of these things shut out and shut down and put out of the way, and then all of a sudden, you know, Gulf War exploded up, of course, then, you know, Bush, yeah, Bush Senior, you know, he kind of lost the hearts of the people, lost the election, and the first thing Janet Reno does when she takes office, she said, "I want you to stop working on these cases having to do with this law on child pornography." And what they did instead? They started going after people that had guns. Started putting pressure on people that wanted some independence and didn't want the government crammed down their throat. And I still believe with all my heart that the Waco from Waco, if they had treated that better, all them people wouldn't be dead right now. Now, I have no doubt he was a wacko, but you don't do like they did if you're trying to save lives. They didn't care. The whole idea is we're going to do something about these guns, and they're at it again. They're at it again. And let's learn from Jeremiah chapter 17. Get settled down. Jim, you done got me up on. Now you got me up on there on my little soapbox thinking about all this political mess because there is a need to make a difference. Look in Jeremiah 17, I'm again reading verses 1. It says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond, is graven upon the table of their hearts, upon the horns of your altars." In other words, here's a very religious people whose heart is so hard, it takes a diamond to even cut into it. What do you say? Their heart is so hard, it takes a
It takes a pin of iron with a diamond tip to even scratch their heart. They're hard-hearted. Hard-hearted.
Now, I'm not talking about individual people. I'm talking about a nation.
And it seems like the more that people try to do good for this country, the hard-harder this nation gets. The more you try to bring people's hearts and minds to the truth, they'll tell you, hey, we don't need you praying anymore. We don't need you getting up there and every time you have a city council meeting, praying over that. We're going to make the decisions around here, not God. And they're hardening their hearts and stiffening their necks.
Well, there ought to be somebody who knows how bad this is, sounding the alarm, crying aloud. I mean, yeah, how do you do that? You run out there and you get mad? No. You just start trying to remind these people. Said, look, God loves you, but you're going down a dangerous path. And I mean, you just keep after it and keep telling it. You don't give up just because, hey, we have become the minority. The church has always been the minority. When Apostle Paul and him first went out there in Europe, there's a handful of people, right? Day of Pentecost, a couple hundred people gathered together in the upper room. Hey, by that afternoon, went from a couple hundred to 3,000 men, besides women and children that got saved, you know? And then in the next big service they have, it says, in multitudes was added unto the church, and such as should be saved. And thousands and thousands and thousands will begin to be added unto the church. What is the problem today? God's not changed, right?
Amen.
We said, well, they're a lot more wicked today. Oh, my goodness. Come on. Look at your history. They were totally given over to paganism during that time. Idolatry. Fornication. You know, a lot of them had, all these people and you say, well, it's the homosexuals. They had them there too. They had them too.
Amen.
Multitudes of them. A lot of them high officials had wives and had women and men lovers. I mean, it's recorded. It's historical. They know it. It's a fact.
What's the difference? Well, I think part of the difference is a little bit of something the preacher preached last week.
Are you willing to do what it takes?
That's true. Man.
Are we willing to do what it takes?
I love my preacher, and we plan revival meetings and this, that, and the other thing.
And last year we tried to prepare for revival by trying to get people to pray. Have we quit? I'll ask you. Have you quit praying? Did you pray during that time? Did you seek God with everything you had designed for God to do something here? If we don't do anyplace else, at least set us on fire right here in this church that God would spring up in our own hearts that people could say, there's something is going on there.
So that when we go down, you want to know when you're probably getting real close to the Lord? When you go down on the job and everybody is over here and all of a sudden you're kind of way over here in the corner. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what happens is when God
sets us apart. When we give ourselves wholly over to the Lord, God will set us apart. People ain't real comfortable with that. And you don't have to be mean. You know what? Most of the time, you know what makes them uncomfortable?
What? Good to them.
Yeah, exactly right. When you're nice, you know. This past week, you know how it is out there on the job? Man, people trying to fill years with all this garbage. This past week, this old boy, he was sitting there and he was telling me about one of the guys he works with, and you know, he was talking all trash. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I said, that's what he was saying about you the other day. I said, don't y'all understand? When the other ain't around, that's who you talk about?
That's true.
I said, I know y'all talk about me when I ain't around. You say, how do you know that? Oh, you talk about them when they're not around. One thing about it, we don't have to do that. And if we do, we can admit it and say, I did wrong. We ain't perfect. Sometimes we'll end up saying some things. Never forget, one time I got caught up in some gossip, Brother Ernie, a guy I worked with. He was mean to me. I mean, he was abusive. And boy, a couple times he said something about my wife. Made me so mad. I mean, I wasn't saved yet. And he said this thing, and boy, and man, something rose up inside me, and he bent over and had a little bald spot on top of the head. And I saw me taking a hammer. Really, I envisioned this, and I had driven it down in his head. He done made me so doggone mad. Oh, you know, it's bad enough. He would always, you know, hide me, you know, but didn't say something about my family. I literally wanted to kill him. A couple years later, I ended up getting saved. In Christ as my Savior. I tried, you know, I just kind of stayed away from that, tried to be friendly and everything. Well, one day, though, I was in there in the break room, somebody was talking, and his name came up about how he does when I ended up saying something. And guess what? The devil was listening to me, and he got one of his servants to carry it over here and tell him what I was saying. And a little bit later, he was so embarrassed. He was sitting there mad. He says, bunch of hypocrites! I'm like, what in the world? Yeah, a bunch of doggone hypocrites, church people, blah, 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 blah. This is when I said, and I figured it out. I said, look, he said, I'm sorry. But he said, I mean, he was going off on the church, going off on, you know, the church. Not a church, not where I attend a church, but the church. And going off on Jesus, and we're just going off just, yeah, that's all you quote Christians, blah, 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 you know, Jesus is Jesus. He was going off and everything. And finally, I said, look, I'm sorry. He said, I don't want to hear it. And Ernest, I really did. I grabbed him like this. I said, I know what you got to. I said, I did wrong. I am so sorry. I said, but you can't blame Jesus and you can't blame the church for what I did. And I asked his forgiveness, confessed my sin, and I was bawling at this point. My tears was falling down, hitting him on the shoes. And he said, they started patting me on me. It's okay, he did. He literally started trying to comfort me and pat me, it's okay, I forgive you. Whenever, if we'll just sometimes just fess up and let people know, you know what I mean? A lot of times they can make a difference. They know when you really do care about them.
problems in this world today. We got problems in our churches today. And a lot of it is simply, we've kind of gotten hard-hearted. We kind of get hard-hearted because of things that happen, you know, disappointments. You know, it won't be long when we say, well, the church ain't what it used to be. No, the church is just what it's always been. It's the body of Jesus Christ. The problem is, a lot of times, we're not what we used to be. We're not in love with the Lord and with people, with souls, with the Word of God. We've allowed our hearts become hardened by problems and troubles. This crowd had got, that's the way they got. They'd gotten so hard, and they weren't even listening to God anymore. They were religious. Now, look, I know there's a big difference. I know these people, they had turned against God, and I know saved people. Hey, if you're saved, you got the Spirit of God in you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to work in your heart. But it's like Brother Joe said, if the world, the flesh, and the devil can get a hold of your mind and get a hold of your heart and get a hold of your spirit where you've got a fallen spirit and a bad countenance, what more does the devil need, you know? He can use us to hurt, and we are very little we can do to help when we get in that kind of shape. So we got to be on guard for our hearts. We got to be on guard for our minds. We got to be on guard for our souls, because the devil, this world, and the flesh is doing everything it can to pull us down. Look. Let me get back over a while. I got going off, and I shouldn't have got into that story, but it seemed to fit. 17:1, he said, boy, their hearts are hard. Did you have a right on or a diamond? Look down here, and then 17 in verse 5. It says, thus saith the Lord, curses be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness in a salt land, and not inhabited. Notice what it said. Cursed be the man whose trust is in flesh. You know, a lot of us, you know, can be really good Christians when everything's going right. You know, when we got a good job, we got good money, our car's not broke down. You know, we're able to get back and forth to church, and everything's okay. You know what I mean? You know, and we don't even realize it. If you ain't careful, when everything's going good, guess what you're really trusting? You're talking about the Lord. Well, God's good to me. God's good to me. God's good to me. Uh-oh. Oh, by the time he's going to run the servant, and he says, man, you ain't going to believe this. He said, we was out there in the fields looking after the sheep. Boy, and this crowd come down there. He said, stole all the sheep, killed all the servants, and I alone have escaped to come and tell you about it. Uh-oh, now all you sheep's gone. Another fellow come running in and said, boy, the Midianites come down. He said, killed all the servants, stole all your camels. Now your commerce is gone. I alone escaped to tell you. You know? Hey, man, they was out there, and man, they stole all your donkeys and this, that, and they killed all your servants. And again, you know, they got no way. Your shipping's all gone. No way to carry your goods. And your fields are burned with the lightning. And boy, they come down, the fella comes running in and says, hey, tell you this. Poor wind came out of the tornado. And your sons were there feasting in the house of your son. And your three daughters were there. And boy, and said, in the house, fell down, tore up in that twister. And I alone escaped today. All your children are dead. And what did it say the fellow did? He said, he rent his clothes. He said, naked came I in the world, and naked shall I return. He said, but
Bless be the Lord. Amen. And with his mouth he sinned not. But how? That's called, you know why? That was the case because he got up every morning because he knew that trouble could come upon him and he was really kind of expecting it eventually. He said, because the thing that I have feared has come upon me in another place. And he was prepared knowing that it could happen to him. And he sacrificed it to his God daily. And he prayed and spent time with him. And he tried to know what God, how God was and what his will was. But now when his troubles come, he's fainting, but he's not forgetting. You know, he's hurting, but he's not faithless. Because he's seen God so many times before, he still knows who's in charge. He didn't do like a bunch of us said, Lord, the devil really messed me up this past, you know. The devil did this. You imagine if Job had started saying that with all the things that the devil had done? Did not God say that you have moved my hand against him? And that I have done this to him? Better be careful who we blame. God, in this world, you have trouble, Jesus said, to be of good cheer. For I've overcome the world. You're going to have to encourage your heart because there's going to be things come into it that's going to make it hard as a rock if you do not realize that this is not home. And if you don't realize that this is a war, there's going to be problems and troubles. It will have your heart as hard as a rock. When you sit down and they ask you about something, then the newspaper lies about it. Puts half of what you really said and took what you did say and twist it all around to mean something else. I've heard religious people do that with Billy Graham.
Amen.
Made me mad. I said, you don't want to know better than that. I heard what he said in the interview, and they said he said something else in the same interview. Just because they didn't like him, didn't like his camp. I didn't like it either. I ain't going to lie about it, brother. I think a man loved God. I think he was saved. I think he did a lot of good. He might have did some hurt, but he also did a lot of good. Well, we got to finish. I didn't get as far as I wanted to, but hey, remember, pray for Brother Jim this week. Tough decision, brother. And I hope it will be God's, we'll find God's mind about it. I believe you'll be obedient when you know. Pray for Brother Jim this week. Pray for our leaders that are trying to do the right things. I ask you to pray for their safety because I'm going to tell you what. You stand for what's right.